You're listening to the preaching podcast of Victory Baptist Church in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina, led by Pastor Jeremy Kobernak. It is our desire that you will be helped by this Bible message.
It's good to be here again. I've been doing this ministry full-time for 2 years now, and the Lord has opened many different doors, and I'm excited for the opportunity to be able to be here and present and to be able to preach, and it's only a few hours away from my home, so that helps out. This semester, I've been only trying to do weekend travels because we're still kind of getting the University of Maryland Bible study established, so I wanted to be closer to home to be able to help with that. But getting to travel a lot, you get to experience a lot of different things, see a lot of different things. I usually preach a summer camp every year for from kindergarten to about seventh grade. So kind of a wide range, but I do the summer camp each year, and I bring my brother with me, and we do a lot of different fun things for the kids. But we always have the devils trying to steal something, and so we run a little skit, and I brought a treasure chest this week of the camp, and I bought all these toys and different things through them. Every day the kids could win a prize, but the devil's goal was to steal the treasure chest. So every day we'd have to fight the devil, and we have to use the word of God to beat him, prayer, different things. And at one point in the skit, my brother, the devil was trying to convince my brother to help him steal the treasure chest. And I thought this was a good idea, but all the kids developed a hatred for my brother in real life. So they began to kind of following around, and some kids would walk up to him and punch him. And I was like, you know what, we really got to fix this problem. So I was like, okay, if I get my brother saved in the skit, the kids will like him again. So the next day in the skit, my brother got saved. And at the end of the skit, all the kids came up to me and says, no, he's lying. He didn't get saved. I like to have a good time with the skits and different things, but that one kind of backfired. But Luke chapter 5, if you have your Bibles, Luke chapter 5, a very familiar passage, but this is something the Lord has used in my life, and I hope I could be a blessing and a challenge to you all this evening. Luke chapter 5, I'll give you a second to get there. And we'll begin reading in verse number 1, and we'll move pretty quickly tonight. Luke chapter 5 and verse 1, we'll begin reading. The Bible says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two ships standing by the lake, but their fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Verse 4, now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, and they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished in all that were with him at the draught of fishes which they had just taken. So was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him." Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity to be able to open your word. Lord, we need you. Lord, we need you. Lord, I pray that you use your word tonight to challenge our hearts. But Lord, not only to challenge our hearts, but to change us for your honor and glory. Lord, I pray that you'd forgive me of all my sins and help me to decrease and you to increase. Speak through me this evening. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As we begin to look in this passage, I'll give you a brief introduction to where we're at. At some point of this, the timeline, John the Baptist was preaching. And one day as John the Baptist was preaching, he's preaching about the coming Messiah. And one day Jesus comes walking by and he says, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. One of the people that was there was Andrew. Andrew runs and finds his brother Peter and brings Peter to Jesus. You see that in John chapter 1. As you continue the timeline, Jesus gets baptized. He goes into the wilderness to be tempted for 40 days. You find that in Luke chapter 4. And out of the wilderness, he comes and really begins his earthly ministry. He began to preach, he began to teach, and he began to do miracles. The Bible says they were astonished at his doctrine. When people heard him, they said his word was with power. Jesus began to cast out demons. We see that in Luke chapter 4, verse 33. He heals Peter's mother-in-law in verse 38. He begins to heal and cast out devils in verse 41 through 42. The lamed are healed, the blind see, the deaf hear. Great miracles are taking place. Many people begin to hear about a man named Jesus, and many people begin to say, let me go see for myself. And people begin to flock to Jesus. Well, Jesus arrives in Galilee and goes into the synagogue. And you might say, well, what did Jesus teach in the synagogue? You find this in Mark chapter 1. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Jesus preached the gospel. And now we have arrived in our passage. But today I want to focus on a man named Peter. See, Peter had already met Jesus. Peter was a follower of Jesus, but he was a follower from afar off. He wasn't a full-time follower. But God had a plan for Peter's life. Not just to have a nice career or a good paying job or the nicest boat or to be the best fisherman. God had a plan for Peter's life, and something was about to happen in his life. For the next few moments, I want to preach a message titled, When Jesus Steps Into Your Boat. When Jesus steps your boat, you'll see three things. Three things you'll see. The very first thing I want to bring your attention to is this. When Jesus steps into your boat, when he steps into your life, he will challenge you. He will challenge you. In verse number one, as we begin to go through this passage, let's look here. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God. These people began to press upon Jesus to hear his word. Jesus' preaching had led to a big following. But these people pressed upon him. This wasn't just they stood around. They were fighting to get a front row seat. These people were trying to get as close as they could. But I asked the question tonight, how bad do you want to hear the word of God? How bad do we want to hear the word of God in our life? These people pressed upon Jesus to hear the word of God. As Jesus began to preach, he's by the lake of Gennesaret, which is just another name for the Sea of Galilee. You look in verse 2, and he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. Jesus is speaking to these people, and he sees two ships on the lake, and these men had gone out, and they were washing their nets. These men were done for the day. How many after a long day's work, right? You want to go home. You want to get some rest. These men were packing up for the day. And about to go home, and they'd worked all night. And we go to verse number 3, and he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and he prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. We see Jesus brings a request to Simon. Jesus personally chooses Peter's boat. But let me ask you this question today. Do you have time for Jesus when he shows up? Peter had to probably begin asking himself this question, you know, Lord, how about this? We can set up an appointment next week, and you can use my boat all day long. We just worked all night. We've cleaned, and we were just cleaning our nets. We're packing up for the day. I want to go home. We didn't have a good night fishing. And he could have came up with a lot of excuses, but the question came in his life was he going to have time for Jesus when he showed up? But let me ask you today, do you have time for Jesus when he shows up in your life? When Jesus begins to challenge you to get more involved, do you have time for Jesus, as we just heard about the saying, we need more people on soul winning night? Do we have time for Jesus on soul winning night? Do we have time for Jesus in our life? See, Peter lets Jesus use his boat for the furtherance of preaching. It was a small task. Look here, he said, would you thrust your boat out a little from the land? So, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. It was just a small task. Hey, Peter, can you bump your boat out a little bit so I can teach to this crowd, so I can preach to this crowd? And you know what? Peter lets Jesus use his boat for the furtherance of preaching. And I ask myself today, am I willing to let God use my possessions for the furtherance of preaching? Am I willing to let God use my life for the furtherance of preaching? And am I willing to let God use my time for the furtherance of preaching? Peter lets Jesus use his boat. And now look, Jesus begins to teach out of the boat. Let me say this. When you let God use you, you get a front row seat to seeing God work. You know what? Peter is now in the front row seat to hearing Jesus Christ, the Son of God, preach to a great crowd of people. He gets a front row seat. It's in his boat. You know why? Because Peter let Jesus use his boat. Today, if you want to see God work in your life, you have to let him use your life. Are you willing to let God use your life tonight? But we see the request. Jesus then finishes preaching in verse 4. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draw. Jesus finishes preaching and he turns to Peter. The first time he spoke to Peter, said, hey, Peter, can you move your boat out a little from the land? He asked Peter. This time he just commands Peter. He speaks to Peter as the master of the ship, but Peter owns the boat. But Jesus speaks as the master. Let me ask you this question tonight. How do we respond when Jesus speaks as the master of our life? How do we respond when Jesus takes control of our life? When Jesus says, it's time for you to do this, and it's time for you to do this in your life. How do we respond? We'll see Peter's response in just a moment. But look at this command. Launch out into the deep. Launching out would take some time. It would take some work. And it would be a lot of effort. You know what? When's the last time Jesus has challenged us in our life? You know what? Many of us, we haven't heard the call to launch out in a while because we haven't made time for Jesus. In order for Peter to hear the challenge to launch out, he had to make time for Jesus in the little command, move your boat out a little from the land. Have we made time for Jesus? Have we not been challenged in a while? The Christian life, there's not just one launching point. There's many launching points throughout your life. When's the last time you said, you know what, I'm launching out for Christ. I'm launching out in my life. You know what launching out would do? It would separate Peter from the crowd. Launching out would cause Peter to be closer to Jesus. And you know what? Peter had launched out the night before. He launched out the night before. Many today, we have no problem launching out chasing our own ambitions. We have no problem launching out for our own hobbies, our own careers, our own goals in our life. But there's something different about launching out for Christ. And I'm thankful today when the Lord calls us and we launch out, it's not about our ability, it's not about our talent, and it's not about us. It's about the God who called us, and He will make a way. But Peter's about to launch out with Jesus. My question tonight is this: when's the last time Jesus has told you to launch out in your Bible reading, your walk with God, and getting involved in a bus route or a Bible study or witnessing to that one person or soul winning? When's the last time Jesus has challenged you in your life? And He says, let down your nets. He's saying, let's go to work, Peter. So Jesus steps into Peter's boat and He comes with a challenge. Hey, could you move your boat out a little from the land and launch out into the deep? But then we see point number two is when Jesus steps into your boat, He'll convict you. I'll show you what I mean by this in a second. When Jesus steps your boat, He'll convict you. Look in verse number 5. Peter responds correctly. And Simon answering said unto him, Master. What does Peter do? He puts Jesus in His rightful place. Master. He spoke to Jesus. Jesus spoke to him as the master of the boat. And you know what Peter did? He said, Master, commander, teacher, you're a leader. Hey, what's he say though? He says, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Jesus, Master, we've worked all night. The word toil is to work extremely hard. We've put a lot of effort into it. Who likes to work for free? Anyone like to work for free? Well, they just work for free. They caught no fish. You know what that means? No income. They've worked all night. They worked hard all night, and they came up short. As I began to think about that, you know what I thought? You know your talents will eventually come up short in your life. Your talents can only get you so far. Peter was an expert fisherman, but he came up short. But I'm thankful today, as I said earlier, God doesn't care about our talents. Amen. And when God calls you to launch out, it's not about your talents. Amen. When Peter got called to walk on the water, it wasn't that Peter could walk on the water. It's that the Lord said, come. Today, we can launch out for Christ, and it doesn't matter about our abilities. But then look here. We've toiled all night. We've worked extremely hard. We've taken nothing. I believe this is one of the key words in Peter's life. This is, I believe, a life-changing word here is the word nevertheless. Nevertheless is a yielding word. Peter could have made a lot of excuses. He could have said, you know what, Lord, how about next week? Or there's no fish outside. He could have said, you know what, I know a lot more about fishing than a carpenter does. He could have said, you know what, the best fishing in this area is at night, not during the day. All these crowds and loud teachings have scared away the fish. He could have made another excuse. We've already washed our nets. And he could have made excuse after excuse, yet Peter decided to yield to the call of Christ. Today we need some nevertheless Christians. What do you think of, as I think of the word nevertheless, what does Jesus say? Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. We need Christians today that will say, you know what? I don't really feel like it, but nevertheless, I'm going to follow God. Lord, I don't have the time. I might miss out on a few things. I might miss out on having the big house or the nicest cars or having all the fancy things that I want. I might maybe get made fun of at some point or get mocked, but nevertheless, Lord, if this is what you have me to do, I will go. Nevertheless, where's the Christians today that say, you know what? I'm just going to yield to the voice of God. I'm just going to follow God. The world might say, hey, the world might mock you for being set apart, but nevertheless, I'm going to follow God. The world might say you're old fashioned, but nevertheless, I'm going to follow God. The world might mock you for staying pure, but nevertheless, I'm going to follow God. The world might mock you for not drinking and partying like the world, but nevertheless, I am going to follow God. Where are the Christians today that say, you know what? No matter what the world says, no matter what has happened, I am going to yield to the voice of God. Peter says this, nevertheless, at thy word. Peter wasn't just yielding to anything. He was yielding to the voice of Christ. As I think about the voice of Christ, at God's word, light was created. At God's word, the stars were created. The sun, moon, and planets were put into their place. At God's word, kingdoms rise and fall. At God's word, all things are held together. At God's word, what happened? Life was created. The very voice of God that Peter yielded to, you know what I'm thankful today, is the very same voice we can yield to today. That very same voice that spoke to Peter is the very same voice that speaks to us through his word. We have God's word. We have the very same voice that spoke to Peter. But what do we do with the Bible? What does the Bible say about itself? Oh, how I love thy law. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. 1 Peter says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. The word of God is quick, it's powerful, and sharper than a two-edged sword. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. The grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. That is the word we have today. That is the word that speaks to us. The Bible says, thy word is true from the beginning. Every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. That's the voice that challenges us today. People say, well, if I was Peter, I would have followed too. If I was Peter, I would have listened to. If I was standing right next to Jesus, I would have launched out too. But you know what? We have the Bible. And the Bible's been calling people to launch out for a while, and that's the same voice of God, amen. Jesus Christ. I'm thankful today that at God's word, we can follow. God's word. Peter yielded to God's word, and it changed Peter's life. We need to say, when God says it, that settles it. But look, here's the reward as we keep going. The reward, verse 6. And when they had left, when they had this done, then crows and enclosed a great multitude of fish. When they had this done, you know, when you do God's will, God will reward you. When they had this done, it was after they listened, they did what God told them to do, they got the reward. When God directs it, God will bless it. There are many Christians today that are so close to the reward, but they haven't let down their nets and surrendered. They know what to do. They know what God would have them to do in their life, but they're still holding on to their net. As I think of the net, I think of the catch. They just caught a great multitude of fish. But as I think spiritually, you know, one day, if you launch out for Christ, you let down your net, you'll be able to look back and see what God has done. Yes. Look how God brought that family together. Look how God used that situation, that person got saved. And your pastor could say the very same things of, look, when he launched out for Christ, and he could look back and say, look what God did there and did there and did there. But we all can have a catch. We can all have those experiences. We can all have that moment where we say, look what God has done, but it starts with us being willing to launch out. Yeah. Be willing to yield to the voice of God. Hey. They beckoned unto their partners in verse 7, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. Wow. This was an abundant blessing. Yeah. You know, as growing up, I thought one of the ships sank. I thought Peter's boat was sinking. But, you know, both of the boats began to sink. What Peter did, Peter yielded, you know, others got to get on the blessing. You know, when we serve God, others get to get on the blessing of us serving the Lord. Let's be a blessing to those around us just by serving God. Be a blessing. You know what? You want your coworkers to see Christ in you? Do the will of God. You want coworkers to be blessed? Say, wow, there's something different about that person. Do the will of God. There's abundant blessing. Their ships began to sink. But look here. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. Oh, Lord. So what's happening? What's going on? Peter, you just had the biggest catch of your life, and now you're falling down. What is going on? You know, as you begin to look what Jesus told Peter and what Peter did, you look in verse number 4. He says, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a drop. Go to verse number 5. Peter says, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Is there a difference between nets and a net? See, Peter let down his net in surrender, but he didn't let down his nets in faith. Peter said, I'm going to do this, Lord, because you want me to do it, but there's no fish out here, so I'm just going to throw a net, and you're going to see that there's no fish. But God knew, and God was preparing Peter for what he wanted to bless him with. He said, throw down your nets. There's a reason why the net broke. There wasn't enough nets to catch all the fish, and Peter realized, hey, he thought he knew better. But how does this apply to our life? I think it applies this way. You know, how many times do we give out a gospel tract because we know we're supposed to? We know we're supposed to give out the gospel. So we'll go and we'll give out a gospel tract, but how many of us have faith that God's going to use that gospel tract to reach somebody. How about this? We know God wants us to pray because the Bible says to pray without ceasing. So we yield and we surrender, right? We surrender, we pray. But how many of us today have faith that God's going to answer our prayers? How about this? We know God wants us to be in church, so we'll surrender, we'll be in church. But how many of us have faith that God's going to speak to our hearts while we're in church? Today, hey, Peter, let down the net and surrender. But he didn't have faith in God's will. He didn't have faith in God's plan. He said, Lord, I'm going to do it, but nothing's going to happen. But you know, when God calls you, God has a reason for it. When we went to the University of Maryland the first time, a couple years ago, and I felt like the Lord wanted me to go to that campus, and we live about 20 minutes from there, and I brought one of the young guys from our church, and we went on a campus. And to this day, it might have been one of my worst days on college campus. And we were passing out things. No one wanted them. People were kind of laughing. And I was like, man, what is going on? We made no contacts in a couple hours. So we went back home that day discouraged. Lord, I thought you called us here. I thought this was your plan. And we surrendered. And we went. But we didn't see any fruit from it. So we were kind of discouraged. And we went home that day. And you know what? That very same night, someone from the University of Maryland had emailed my pastor and said, hey, I've seen one of your blue buses come by, your church buses. Can I get a ride to church this Sunday? Amen. See, it's not about us, it's about God. Amen. God calls us to surrender. Let's have faith that God has a reason for it. Maybe God has called you to do something and you haven't seen the results yet. Keep having faith that God has a reason for it. Maybe you're in a situation in your life and you're thinking about quitting. You're like, well, the Lord called me here and the Lord put me here and it's not going the way I thought it was going to go and this is not happening the way I thought it was going to happen. Let's have faith that God has a reason for you being here. I remember when I was in college, my sophomore year of college, I got roomed with the worst guy in the football team, not athletically, but spiritually. Football at the time really wasn't going well. Every time I'd read my Bible, he'd turn his music up. Every time I'd try to do something right, he'd combat it with something wrong. And it was just constant things that were just going wrong. And I got to the point where I wanted to quit. I didn't see God do anything big on campus. I thought, Lord, you put me here. I thought you're going to open all these doors and do all these great things. And nothing seemed to be going the way I had planned it. I felt like quitting. But you know what? God still had a plan. Let's have faith in God's plan. After that, God began to open all these different doors, and he challenged me at the verse Romans 1:16. I talked about it to the teens. But let's have faith in God's will. Let's have faith. Peter thought he knew better. Look at the realization in verse 9. For he was astonished in all that were with him at the draught of fishes which they had taken. He was humbled by the power of Jesus. One more thing about verse number 8. Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. You know, whenever we choose our way over God's way, it always leads to the same place, shame and regret. Let's not choose our way today, let's be surrendered. But look here, the realization, because Peter was such an experienced fisherman, and because he knew how unfavorable the conditions were, he knew all the more what a great miracle this was. Peter knew this wasn't supposed to happen, and he was astonished. They were so surprised, and they were so shocked that he fell before Jesus, because Jesus, he's like, man, this is the Son of God. This is who he says he is. He just saw a great miracle. He realized that, you know what, he didn't throw down the nets. But lastly, I want to point your attention to this as we close. When Jesus steps our boat, he'll challenge you. Challenge Peter with his time, with his boat, and then with launching out. Peter responded to that challenge and yielded. You know, Peter saw conviction because he wasn't expecting God to work in that way. But then lastly, you know, when Jesus steps into your boat, he'll change you. He'll change you. Look here, there's a redirection in these men's lives. There's a new calling. So was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not. From henceforth thou shalt catch men. There's a new direction. But look here, and when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. As I began to think about this, they just worked the previous night with no fish, no income. Now they just had the biggest catch of their life, so much that their boats were sinking, their net broke, they were throwing their partners in to get all these fish. Imagine the income they would have just made. Imagine the things they could have paid off. Maybe they had some bills or some loans they had to get rid of or some things they had to pay off or they could have cashed in. They didn't say, Lord, how about this? We're going to follow you next week. We're going to go cash in and make some investments and we're going to gather these fish and we'll be with you next week. Thank you, Lord. You just supplied a great blessing for us. But know what happened? They left the blessing for the God of the blessing. Today, Christian, today it's not about the blessing, it's about the God of the blessing. These men saw Jesus for who he was, and when they saw who Jesus was, he was the Son of God. He was the Messiah. He was the very Son of God that left heaven to come to earth to save sinful man. They saw his power. They saw who he was, and you know what? The blessing looks so small. We heard the song tonight, I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. Today, Christian, we need to have that in our life. Today, the American dream has clouded many of our minds. Today, our careers have clouded many of our minds, and there's nothing wrong with careers, and there's nothing wrong with the American dream, but if that has taken your burden away from you, if that has gotten you out of church, and that's gotten you away from God, that is not what we need in our life. We need Christians today say, you know what? I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather have Jesus than anything in this world. These men, they left the big catch behind. They left a lot of money behind because they realized the riches of this world wouldn't last, and there was treasures in heaven. These men followed Jesus Christ. How bad do you want the will of God in your life today? They left everything for the will of God. But today I'm afraid most Christians, they want the will of God, they can get a lot of money too. They'll take the will of God, they get the big house. They'll take the will of God, they get the nicest cars. They'll take the will of God, they can stay close to home. They'll take the will of God, they get this relationship. They'll take the will of God if it's not too much sacrifice. But where's the Christians today that would say, you know what? You can have the money, I'll take Jesus. You can have that popularity, I'm going to take Jesus. You can have that party life, I'm going to choose Jesus. You can have that job promotion, I'm going to choose Jesus. You can have all the alcohol, I'll take Jesus. Today, where's the Christian today that says, you can have all the sin of this world, I'd rather have Jesus today, Christian. Where are the Christians today that have that burden, that desire to grow close to God? That's what this world needs. That's what our college campuses needs. It needs to see churches on fire that are excited about serving God, that say, I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. That's what our college campuses need. They followed him. When I was in college, I was a finance major, and we had to go to a seminar, and these two bankers started talking. And they talked for maybe an hour and a half, and I just sat there. And up until that point, I was planning to get a finance job, and they just talked about how they made all this money. They spent so many hours in the bank. They spent nights in the bank, sleeping in the bank, making all this money. They just talked about all this money. It was just money the whole time. And I thought, man, you know how empty that is? All their life is money. That's just going to burn up one day. Christians today, we have something so much greater. His name is Jesus. These men saw how great he was, and they forsook it all, and they followed him. You know, in Peter's life, it started with this. It started with this. Thrust out a little from the land, a small task. But you know, I don't think if Peter didn't respond in the small task, I don't think we'll see Peter at the day of Pentecost, preaching and thousands of people getting saved. Today, what's the small task that God's been knocking on your heart about? What's that thing that the Lord's been challenging you about? You know, in my life, this message really relates to me because this is kind of how the Lord worked. He challenged me. I remember, as I told earlier, I was thinking about quitting and he began to challenge me. I remember reading the verse, Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Up until that point, you know what? It wasn't that I was doing anything crazy wrong, but I was just flying under the radar with my faith. And the Lord just kind of hit me in the face. I said, Lord, I'm going to try my best to live out that verse the best way I know how. And God began to open doors. They were able to start a Bible study. 30 people would start coming to that Bible study. And we were able to do this other event, this event. And by the time I graduated, we had 3 Bible studies going. And because the Lord challenged me. And as you saw a little bit of the video, there was we did a big revival service on the middle of college campus. On the campus I was at, we brought in a platform, over 300 chairs. We brought in an independent Baptist preacher to preach on the front lawn of the campus. Almost 300 students were out there. And he gave the gospel. And I saw one of my teammates in the back. I was like, that guy will never get saved. I know what he's all about. The preacher preached his message. He gave his testimony. He said, if anyone would like to accept Christ, would you raise your hand? I'd love to talk to you more. I'll give you more information. And I remember looking back and seeing that man raise his hand. You know, I got convicted because it was the power of God. You know, when God challenges you to do something and you respond to that challenge, oftentimes we're left convicted. Look at God's power. Look at what God did. That was only what God could do. And you know what? Lastly, he changed me. My dream growing up was to play football. I love football. I still love football, but he's changed me. You know, I get just as excited to preach the Bible than I did when I played in big stadiums with 30,000 people, catching the big touchdowns and different things like that. I get just as excited about preaching God's word. You know why? Because he changed me. But you know what? That wasn't just a one-time experience in my life. The Lord began to challenge me again in other things. COVID came around, and I felt like the Lord was calling me into full-time ministry, but people said, maybe you should wait. because you're not going to be able to get meetings. I came into January 2021 with $50 to support and one meeting scheduled, and I was going to go full time. $50 to support doesn't get you very, very far if that's all you have. But the Lord was challenging me. I said, Lord, I'll go. I'm not sure how this is going to work out. By the end of the year, the Lord had allowed me to travel to like 36 states. Wow. Many meetings. Hey. Raised a lot of support. Hey. Opened doors to preach all across the country. You know, I got convicted because that wasn't me. That was God. Hey. You know what? And it changed me to have more faith in Him, to trust Him. But my question tonight is this. When's the last time He's challenged you? When's the last time He's challenged you? When's the last time you've seen the power of God in your life? I can't live off of someone else's faith. I want to see God work in my life. I don't want to just read how God did revivals and opened many doors. I want to see God do it today. I don't want to just read how there was great college revivals back in the day and God was doing all these different things. No, I want to see that for myself. But we all need to get on board. What does God have for you to do? What is the burden that God has given you? What's the direction that God has given you? What is the area that God's been challenging you to get involved in? What's holding you back? Don't let it be our time. Don't let it be ourself. Let's say, I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'll take Jesus. That's what these disciples did. They left everything. They just threw their career behind. They left the biggest catch behind because they saw who Jesus truly was. You know what, today, when we see who Jesus truly is, our careers, our goals, our ambitions, our hobbies all look so small because this truly is the Son of God.
Thank you for listening to the preaching podcast of Victory Baptist Church in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina, led by Pastor Jeremy Kobernak. For more information about our ministry, please visit our website at vbcrr.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.